You know, it was the Apostle Paul, in his wisdom to young Timothy at the time, saying, listen, Timothy, whatever that fear is that you're experiencing, God's not giving it to you. God is not the author of a spirit of fear, Scripture says, but of power and love and a sound mind. We're going to unpack that a little bit today. I guess the question is, what is it that you worry about? What is it that causes anxiety in your life? And what do you do as a follower of Christ? Come on now. The reality is we have to face these things in the world in which we live. What do you do? Dr. Randy here in the Intentional Living Center. We're going to get really intentional. And by the end of the next 28 minutes, you're going to feel better. You're going to know more about how to deal with fear and anxiety and worry in your life. We're not going to lay more on. We're going to take some off and give you some strategies that will help you make it better in your life. Okay? So come and join us. Amy's taking your calls today at 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Maybe you can share with us just one thing you've learned to deal with worry and fear in your life. What works for you? And Jennifer's back. Welcome, Jennifer. And we're ready to go here today. You know, we think about the things we worry about. Of course, today is one of those very significant days in American and world history, 9/11. This week, as we remember what happened in New York and at the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania that day. We were just talking here before we went on the air. We all know where we are in certain significant days. Some of you can go back. Remember the day when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. You remember where you were. You remember where you were on 9/11. Maybe you remember where you were when the Challenger exploded back in 86. So this is a significant day, and we remember the lives that were lost there on that day. And since then, as a result of illness and so on, and of course, today my wife and I were walking and we passed one of the large fire trucks. They were probably going to a ceremony somewhere, and I gave them a thumbs up. Hey, we appreciate all those workers and those of you who are first responders. God bless you. But, you know, we think about what's happened since then. Think since 9/11 to today, all of the worry points that have entered into our culture, into our vocabulary here in America today. Safety of our kids in schools. Things we didn't worry about quite so much years ago. The climate. I mean, that's a huge topic today. And young people, you're being told, you know, in 10, 12 years, you got people are feeling discouraged because of the climate. What about violence in the streets of America? We got the disease. We just went through these 3 years of COVID. Now some of it's coming back. The world is in disorder. Now, I'm not going to continue down that path because there's a long list of things that each of us as parents and grandparents and young people and singles can be worried about. And of course, ultimately concerned about the salvation of our kids. But the real question is, what do we do? 2 Timothy 1:7 is one of the many, many verses in Scripture that can give us some hope today. Paul's talking to young Timothy, this young preacher, and he's telling him to stir up that gift that God has given him, to fan it like a flame, you know, with your hand. You can take a candle and blow into it, and it'll get larger and larger. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, whatever it is that you're wrestling with, that timidity and fear that you have, it ain't from God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now, just before we get to your all calls here, I just want to just get the definitions clear. We're talking about worry today. We're talking about true worry. Worry, by definition, is sort of a distress or an agitation resulting from a concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. You're worried about something. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about tomorrow. You're worried about safety. You're worried about inflation. You're worried about, well, you know, the list goes on. Where we think about fear, I mean, fear is, hey, my house is on fire. You wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you're afraid. And God gives you that kind of fear to get you out of there. I mean, that's a gift. But what happens is when Paul says, God's not given you a spirit of fear. There's a difference. That spirit is more of that kind of internal, constant feeling of unease, that I'm fearful of people. I'm fearful of what's coming next. And I know many of you struggle with this, and some of you are in therapy. Some of you are getting help for this. It can be a serious emotional and mental agitation in your life. I understand that. But all of us, to some extent, can get caught in this worry cycle in our lives. And the question is, what do you do? What do you do? Paul tells us here. The power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and the sound mind, how we choose to think. These are powerful things. And of course, as we read through Scripture, we realize that prayer is a powerful part of this process that we have in our life. So come and join us. One question today. What one thing have you learned that helps you, really practical, when you find yourself in that kind of an agitated worry mode about things that, frankly, you have little control over? 888-888-1717. Christians supporting Christians, believers supporting believers. What have you learned? Let's do this. Let's get intentional. Because if you ain't intentional with this, I'll tell you what, Satan's going to he's going to weasel his way into your mind, into your emotions, and he's going to drag you down. That's what he does. 888-888-1717. Worry. Angie, first from Michigan. Worry and answered prayer. My friend, what have you learned?
Well, you know, my prayer life started after I spent almost 16 years in a career, and I found myself at a very weird intersection where I was going to be homeless with my three children for the first time in my entire adult life. And I really struggled with it because, for me, I've always been able to stand on my own two feet. Prayer in my life has always been very present. And you need to be very careful what you pray for when it comes to God, because, you know, I prayed for him to take everything because I wanted him to take everything out of my life that didn't serve him. Mm-hmm. And when you ask a prayer like that, you cannot turn around and worry about what God does take out of your life because it's not serving him to his purpose. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally realized that he got me to a point where, okay, yes, I am going to be homeless with my children, or I was at that point, he used it for his good. He knew I was not where I needed to be to enhance his purpose. And I think that took a lot of worry away from me once he did start revealing that to me. You really have to be careful. You need to mean it when you pray, and you need to not worry about when he does start taking things out of your life, because it is for a purpose. You can't pray in one hand and then say, but you can't take that. Or, you know, pray to God to move you where he needs to move you and say, but I don't want to go there. That's not how he works. If you ask, he's going to give it to you. So it's very easy. Now, I do have my days, and I struggle with it. I still worry, but I'm getting better at praying, and it's not as scary as it used to be.
Mm. Good for you. Thank you, Angie, for giving us a glimpse into your prayer life and the power of prayer. There's something about, we think of this thing of centering. You know, when you get into prayer, it kind of does in a Christian form kind of center you about what really matters. You know, learning to take that deep breath, to sit. And what does it say? You know, we're told in the book of Ephesians by Paul over and over, take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. He says in Philippians 4, whatever's true and right and admirable, praiseworthy, whatever's true, that's where he starts, think on these things. The power of our mind. He says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Let's face it, our stinking thinking can get us into trouble. And I'm convinced that Satan doesn't have to show himself quite so much because he can get in behind the scene and get into our minds. And he's pretty well, if he gets in there and we allow him to start taking control of how we choose to think, and going down certain paths, and he loves it. And in the process, boy, worry is one of the things he's going to download into your life. You know, he's going to download it into your processor in your brain, and you're going to see things, and you're going to start to worry. But prayer is part of that process of getting that out. All right, we're talking about worry. We're talking about prayer. What have you learned about worry? We've got a world that's filled with worry and distress. And anxiety, what's one thing that helps you? Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Chris is next. Chris, you know, we're talking about worry and prayer. What have you learned today?
Well, when I heard you say, when did you realize that prayer is so much better than worry? I know exactly when I realized that. It was exactly 8 years ago when my son was a senior in high school. Mm. And as parents, we tend to worry, or I did anyway, about my son, and it took me until he was a senior in high school to realize that prayer is all I need, not worry. And so this is my story. My son had gone to school all day long, and then he went to practice, and then he went to work. And I was one of those overprotective parents. And even though we were, you know, we're super close, and we were at that time, but he had wanted to go see his girlfriend. And so I thought, okay, I mean, this is a chance for me to let this string out a little bit. And so I said, okay, you know, be home by this time. And so he went, and, you know, my worries started just flooding over me. And I just said, no, you know, God, you are great and wonderful. And I am just praying that you bring my precious child back to me safely. It's been 8 years and I'm still crying because it's so wonderful. I mean, God, it's just so amazing. So the curfew time came, and I was on the couch, and I got it. My phone rang, and it was from a number that I did not recognize. And I picked it up, and it was my son. And he said, Mom, I've been in a car accident, but I'm okay. And so I drove to the site, and I fell to my knees when I got there. His car it had rolled 3 times. It was upside down. He crawled out through the driver's window. The whole car was crushed like a can, except where he was sitting. Now that's a God thing right there. And so the officer came up to me, and of course I embraced my son, and the officer said, ma'am, your son sure is lucky. And I said, officer, this has nothing to do with luck. This is our good Lord at work right here. Mm. So not only can we pray with our children, but we can intervene and pray for our children. And so ever since that day, I give everything to God, because he is the one who takes care of all of our needs, our loved ones, everything that's precious to us. And if we can just spend more time thanking God for all of our blessings instead of all that worrying, then we're going to be a lot healthier people and better parents. And I was just, you know, sorry it took me so long to realize that. But my son now, he just graduated from law school, took his bar, and so even when he's in a different state, I pray for him. I send him, you know, my daily devotionals, and God is just so good.
Yes, he is. And don't worry about the tears. By the way, bring the Kleenex when you call. That's all right. We got a box around here somewhere. Don't we? Yeah, there's one right over here. You're always welcome to share your emotion with us. That's why we're here, to do life together, to experience life together, and to help us live intentionally in a worry world in which we live today. And to hear your stories of what you've learned about worry and fear and anxiety and what God's teaching you, powerful. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. We're live here in the studio today, and we'd love to have you participate. We're going to continue the discussion tomorrow, so we'll take all your calls, and we'll get you on here today or tomorrow. 888-888-1717. To be a part of the show. If you just joined us, we're in the Intentional Living Center, part of Family Life Radio, part of the Ministry of Intentional Life Media, where we're committed to bring glory to God, benefit to those that we love, including ourselves. And we can do it even in the world in which we live today. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Number one, I think we have to get honest with ourselves. We really do. We have to get honest with ourselves. I think there are two things that become an enemy to us finding victory in those quiet, private moments, and nobody's looking, and we're making a decision. I think there are two things. Obviously, we know sin is the big overarching problem of all of this, right? So we're all on the same page with that. But I think humanly, there's two things. One is, I think, our hang-ups, and I think, secondly, our habits. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month, and it's a teaching to encourage you that when the small things in life all of a sudden start to multiply, they take on a life of their own and they become big in your life. You know, we focus sometimes on the big things. We focus on the divorce. We focus on the cancer. We focus on the financial problem in our life. But, you know, many times it's the little things that build up that create some of the dynamic in the environment for these big things to happen in our lives. And so the teaching this month on when small things aren't so small is designed to encourage you and to remind us about the power of dealing with the small things in our life. We get some really practical ideas, intentional points from our intentionals, as well as scripture this month. Members, watch for it. It's coming your way mid-month here. For those of you joining us today to become a part of the Intentional Living community, with your monthly support, we have an additional gift right from my bookshelf. I told the team we're going to send everyone who joins us from Max Lucado a book that he wrote a few years ago that I've enjoyed called How to Outlive Your Life. It's a book that looks not only to the end of life, but beyond, and be able to look back and see, did I make a difference well beyond my own life and the lives of my kids and my grandkids and the things that I do with the resources that God gives me? A very practical book. You know, Max writes in such a practical, kind of fun way, easy to consume and very practical. It's our gift to new members right now as you join us at 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, and then press number 2, or anytime 24 hours a day at theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com.
Hi, my name is Belinda. Over 20 years ago, my husband became very ill, and it shook us both up pretty badly. Through prayer, I started learning to trust the Lord for every detail of our lives. And I just learned that I needed the energy to finish raising the family, take care of my husband, work, take care of a lot of details. And worrying steals a person's energy, I think. So instead of worrying, I decided to trust the Lord, so I would go to Him in prayer and then leave my request and then move on to whatever was waiting to be done. That's how I learned not to worry. And by not worrying, you have more room for joy in your life.
Amen to that. I'll tell you what, at the end of the show here today, in about 10-15 minutes, we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. I'll pray for those of you that are struggling with worry today. If you want to post it on our website or just let us know, we'd love to pray for you. By the way, we have a prayer community you're always welcome to come to through our website at theintentionallife.com, where others will join you in the needs that you have in your life in prayer. Let's go to Judy in Michigan. Hey, Judy, how you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Great.
Thanks for asking.
What part of Michigan are you calling from?
I am from Clarkston.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks.
What have you learned about worry?
Well, I am a worrier by nature. I've been a teeth grinder since I was a kid. And what I've learned is that there's something to breath work. God gave us a healing agent right in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And if we can slow ourselves down and do some intentional breathing, sometimes we think about it as like a new age practice or something that's only for yoga practitioners, but it, you know, in breath work slows your parasympathetic, nervous system down. It activates the vagus nerve. It calms your brain. It energizes you. As prayer, I remind myself that the Spirit of Jesus is closer than the air I breathe, and He's responsible for this tiny little miracle that happens in our breath, where oxygen enters my bloodstream and the carbon dioxide leaves my body, and He can handle whatever it is that is worrying me. That has absolutely changed the way I think about my problem.
Well, you got all the science down, and I'll tell you, the reality is it's true. God's given us our breath, and we even reference the breath of God that breathes on us, and that there's power. And I agree with you. I mean, I've found when I'm worried and fearful, we have very low breathing, and we're not breathing fully as we should, and So that's an important thing to do.
It's so true. Yeah. You know, chronic pain sufferers don't know how to take deep breaths.
Yeah.
They have to be retrained. And so I think it's the same thing with emotional pain.
Absolutely.
We can do a lot for ourselves through that. Can I teach you something?
Sure.
Can I teach you about circular breath?
I guess.
I don't know
go
if you've
right
ever
ahead.
Done this, but you breathe in through your left nostril only. Sometimes you hold your right nostril closed.
Got it.
With your finger.
Yep.
Breathe out through your right nostril, in through your right, and then out through your left. You're making a horseshoe. And if you do it
I hope my five-year-old grandson isn't listening.
No, not
I know where the finger's going.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm exactly. with you. All right.
Yeah, so you go in and out through the opposite nostrils and make a horseshoe with your breath 5 times, and it makes all the difference. If you do it 3 or 4 times a day, it changes the way you think.
Just don't do it in front of the public, because you're going to look a little strange. No, you're right. That's good. Thank you for sharing that from Clarkston. By the way, that's from our new Detroit station, 93.1, the powerhouse for Southeast Michigan. For Family Life Radio, and I'm glad you're listening. Let me ask you, Judy. Let me ask you before you go. Did you just find us recently?
So I have been a believer for my entire life, most of my adult life, I would say. But 93.1 just kind of popped up as one of the options, and it's on my preset now.
Great. Listen, we're brand new we've been in Michigan for years. This is where we started our ministry, Family Life Radio in Jackson, but we're brand new at 93.1 just for the last month in Metro Detroit and in your area. So I'm glad you're listening.
I'm so grateful for you. I am too. It's been really a positive influence in my day.
Fantastic. And as you're doing your breathing exercises, tell someone about it. Tune in to 93. Just don't push. No, not. You don't pinch both of them at the same time, Jennifer, just one at a time, okay? But she's right, absolutely. I mean, we know that can be physically helpful to us and emotionally, and in the process of doing that, make sure we're praying, that we're really getting close to God in terms of, as it says, power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. All right, we're talking about one thing you're doing to deal with fear and anxiety and worry. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Brian did, from Arizona. Brian, thank you for your call. Tell us, what have you been learning about worry?
Oh, man, I've learned so much over this past couple years, but mainly in this last year. My 4-year-old son was diagnosed with leukemia. On his 4th birthday, and we are now a year in. He turned 5 this past Friday, and, the stress and worry and anxiety that comes along with childhood cancer is just unreal. I think a lot of people's first instinct is to look for someone to blame in these type of situations, and my first instinct was to thank God and to look to him just with thanks. He made sure we found it when we did and got us in with a great team of doctors, and I'm so thankful. It's made our faith just so much stronger than it's ever been. And it's made my family stronger, and we're in the middle of the storm now. My son's doing great, and we may not understand why right now these things have happened, but I'm very confident that the Lord's going to reveal in the future why, and it's going to be a positive thing for sure. I can recall times where, the chemo was affecting him, making him very nauseous, and just sitting at dinner, he's unable to eat and not feeling well, and I would have to step away, and I would go to my closet and just cry and pray. And to be honest, so many times I would come back out and he would say, "Dad, I'm ready to eat." And he would eat, and it just unbelievable the way that God works. I'm just so thankful for everything. I could easily be upset or, try to blame something or someone, but I can't bring myself to do that. I'm just so thankful. And I found myself throughout this past year, instead of constantly praying to ask for things, I find myself praying to be thankful, and thankful for so many little things.
That's the way we deal with worry. Listen, brother, let me pray for you and others. Father, do pray for Brian and Judy and others who've called and shared with us. Satan loves worry. I think it came at the fall in the garden. We know fear did, certainly. Lord, I pray that we'll come to understand what that verse means, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. No matter if we're facing cancer or we're facing some other disease or just uneasiness of what's going on in the world or concern for our kids or grandkids or what's going on in our marriage or our family or what's going on in our work or our finances, so many things that we can worry about. And instead of pulling the covers up over our head, may we be bold enough to do what Brian shared with us, to trust you and to see what you're going to do and continue to move forward. Because we know we can only control so much, and we give you the rest. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we only got a minute left. Yeah, 1 minute. Yeah, I just need to say something to our friends all across New Mexico. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is coming to Albuquerque on Saturday night, August the 4th. November the 4th. November the 4th. That'd be too late, wouldn't it? November the 4th. And we're going to have a fantastic night. We're going to talk about five powerful things that will change a marriage. We're going to do it with funds and story, but it's going to be powerful. And we're going to challenge each of us to have one thing to take away for our marriages for the days ahead. And I think you'll find it very practical. I hope you'll make it a mission outreach to bring some couples with you that evening. Now, tickets are going fast. It's a limited seating capacity. The Gold Circle tickets already are gone, and we just started last week announcing this. And so I encourage you to get your tickets from all across New Mexico, Arizona, coming down from Colorado, wherever you want to be a part of it. Come and join us. It's going to be on Saturday night, November 4th, in Albuquerque. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com and get your tickets today, theintentionallife.com. And the information is there under the events. And while you're there, if you're not a part of the Intentional Living community, would you come and join us? We'd love to have you be a part of Intentional Living through the ministry of what we're doing. We'll send you the master class teaching this month. As you know, it's going to be on how small things, when they become big in our life, can damage us. And we also have that Max Lucado book, To Outlive Your Life, as a gift for new members joining us today. Again, call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com. Thank you, Jennifer and Amy. I'll tell you what, we're going to leave the phone line open, though, right now, because we're going to record for tomorrow. More calls on this topic. What have you learned about worry? 888-888-1717. Call me now. I want to talk to you, and we'll see you tomorrow.